We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. It's Beach and Company here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach. You'll be glad to hear he's back on Monday. Still cruising on the bold and beautiful Mississippi River. And it's 10:07 here in the studios of Entercom Buffalo. I'm glad to be with you today. I've got today and tomorrow with you. And after that, I'll be back, you know, dropping deeply into obscurity. But for the moment, I've got the microphone here at the Voice of Buffalo. And I've been talking about the Collins-McMurray race. I've got an interesting comment from a Facebook follower of mine. Telling someone a company failed a clinical trial is not illegal. Telling someone to sell their stock because the company failed the clinical trial is a federal crime. And that seems like an important distinction for Collins' defense. How about that, huh? It comes from somebody I know who knows, by the way, who has the qualifications to say such things. You have to understand that there are tactics and facts and ways for Chris Collins to defend himself. This is not a cut-and-dried case. I think it's damning. Of course it is. Lawyers I know on the left and the right say that it looks bad. It looks bad. That's important. It looks bad. But time will tell. And we are innocent until proven guilty, as Nate McMurray said on the radio this morning. But to me, you know, these kinds of facts are lost for some reason to the reporters of Western New York. I don't get it. I don't understand. To me, it seems like reporters here are kind of phoning it in. I see some pretty aggressive reporting from WIVB. David Graeber there is a pretty solid reporter. I don't know why. For example, why nobody is demanding that Nate McMurray show them the poll before they talk about his memo that summarizes the poll in his own words. That's not journalism. It's not journalism. And it's also, I mean, it's interesting. I want to see how, I got to look, but I want to see how Jerry Zaremski of the Buffalo News covered it, if he covered it, because Jerry has been in Washington for decades, and he knows that if you're talking about a poll, you got to show the poll, not a memo that gives your spin on the poll, a cover sheet. You got to show the numbers. So why? We also have, you know, we have national reporters who work in this market. A great example is Steve Brown over at WGRZ, a former Fox television reporter, Fox News reporter. I believe he came from Chicago. These are not people who, you know, graduated with a journalism degree locally and don't understand the rules of the road. You don't report on a poll memo. You report on a poll. And if you haven't asked Nate McMurray to show you the numbers, then you're not committing an act of journalism. Another example, this one I have to be careful with because I'm involved in the DiPietro versus Wachensky race. I'm a paid advisor to David DiPietro, so take that for what it's worth. All right, but another example, Nate Wachensky, under oath, said that he had not paid his taxes. He also said he didn't have to. He was told by his CPA he didn't have to. Dave DiPietro released his taxes to all reporters and said, you know, come and get them, take a look at them, and Nate needs to do the same because he didn't pay his taxes. And Luke, in a response, said, I paid my taxes. This is ridiculous. I'm not showing you my tax returns. So reporters just let that lie. Let it lie. I mean, if you're for transparency, which the Buffalo News is definitely all about transparency, they litter the entire landscape of Western New York with FOIA requests, Freedom of Information requests, trying to find information, and they should. They're reporters. But if they're not asking Nate McMurray for his poll numbers and they're just going with what Nate says in a memo, they're not committing an act of journalism. If they're just accepting what Luke Wachensky says about his taxes without demanding to see his tax forms, that is not journalism. If you're for transparency and you claim to be a journalist, then you need to know what the norms of transparency are and demand them. And for some reason, even the leading reporters in Western New York are accepting the memo from Nate McMurray as some kind of proof of concept. And it is not. Like I said before, the one thing, the only thing you need to know as a reporter is Nate isn't showing his image rating on his poll summary. Do people like me or don't like me? That is a basic number that drives whether the Democratic National Committee is going to come in with money. But it's not there. It isn't in his memo. It's just absolutely glaringly missing. And nobody, not the reporters here on WBEN, no reporters anywhere have asked for it. No reporters anywhere are saying, Nate, where's your numbers? No reporters anywhere are saying Luke Wachensky, state assembly candidate in 147, where's your tax returns? It's lazy. It's just lazy. Now, you know, there's a lot of reporting left. There's three weeks left plus, and we may see this kind of committed journalism out of reporters here in the area. Look, God knows if they're asking Collins whenever they get a chance the hard questions. That's why Chris Collins is kind of avoiding them. If I were working for Chris Collins, I'd say stay the heck away from the reporters. And he is. He's picking and choosing his interviews. He says he's sitting down with reporters who happen to be at areas where he is speaking, but he doesn't pre-announce where he's going to be, so reporters aren't there to chase him down. Dave Graber from WIVB happens to be in the right place at the right time because he's a damn good reporter. Where are the good reporters in Buffalo beyond WIVB? Why aren't you asking the questions you should be asking? Not just of Chris Collins. We know why you're not asking him questions. He's avoiding you like the plague. But you'll be able to get him, and you'll get there, and you'll ask him tough questions. Why aren't you asking Nate McMurray the tough questions? Somebody on the text board here on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, I've had three people ask me why I'm not talking about Nate McMurray's comment where he told a local councilman, stay away from me, I have a gun. I understand that's a story. I get why the Collins people are putting that out there. I don't think that defines Nate McMurray. I don't think it's legit. I know the guy that he was talking to. Guy gets under your skin. He's tough to even tolerate, and he'd make anybody lose their temper. I'm not going to judge Nate McMurray on that story in the Buffalo News about him having a gun. People carry guns. And by the way, there's a lot of people who are Second Amendment supporters who are saying, by the way, if you feel like you're under threat, you should be able to say, I've got a gun. It certainly beats pulling it out. So I don't think that's a big story. I think it was a convenient story. It was interesting. Kind of made people think. But I would think twice about it. I don't find it of value. It's not going to enter my mind when I decide whether or not I'm going to vote for Nate McMurray. So thanks for the text on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. But that's not something I'm going to talk about. There are a lot of callers on the line. I'm going to get to you and the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, which is lit up. We'll be right back after these messages, though, here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach here on Beach & Company. It is 10:19 on News Radio 930 WBEN. A lot of action on the text board, a lot of action on the phones. I'm going to go right to them. First, the text board. There's a long text here, which it's hard to read on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board because when people type really long texts, it strings out of order. And even though it's a pretty good one, I'm going to have to spend some time to put it together. Let me see. I've lost my copy of our president's tax returns. Oh, wait, that's right. He won't release them. When we talk about the presidential race in 2020, I'll be happy to take that text and happy to take this person on a call. But we aren't talking about the president, nor his tax returns. We're talking about a New York State Assembly candidate who swore under oath that he didn't pay taxes and won't prove why he didn't. I appreciate your text, but try to stay on topic. Certainly no journalism going on at WBEN, although their moniker is News Radio 930, all Republican talk all the time. Geez, I hate to keep doing this, but I'm going to have to define the difference between news and commentary for this texter. At the top and the bottom of the hour, you'll hear people like Brian Mazurowski and Susan Rose read what is called news. Otherwise, on this station, between those news broadcasts, at the top and the bottom of the hour, we have what we call talk radio. That's commentary. It's not news, and it's not journalism. My gosh, people, try Google. Really. I mean, that's about as basic as it comes. We have, they call it news radio because top of the bottom of the hour, you get news, and you get it more often than you get it anywhere else, and you get better news here than anywhere. And by the way, I get more complaints from people who like the talk radio, like the commentary, and can't stand the news because they think it's liberal. I don't think it's liberal. I think it's straight news. The problem, the contrast between the talk and the news is palpable because the talk tends to be conservative. I think Sandy's kind of middle of the road a lot. David Bellavia, Tom Bowerly are kind of, you know, Republican leaning to the right. And, you know, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, of course, these are Republican right-wing commentators. But there's a difference between journalism and commentary. My goodness, people. Try to keep up. Darcy in Youngstown, how are you? Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, good morning, you guys. I got to go to the rally last night in Pennsylvania with my 12-year-old son, and that was fun, just kind of a...
Darcy, we had a lot of Western New Yorkers going out there. Yeah, I got a call from NBC News from the rally, and they told me they were interviewing people on their way in, and that they interviewed a lot of people from Western New York, and they were calling me and asking me why these people were coming from Western New York, the reporter asked. And I said, because it's not very far away. I was kind of incredulous about it. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I did. We got there late because we did, and we didn't get in. We had tickets, but we didn't get in, and there were thousands outside, and there was the big TV out there, so you could... You know, it was totally satisfying. What was really nice was just to be with other people that are supportive of his policies. And just, I wanted my son to experience that, like the freedom of being able to cheer for the president when he's, you know, naming off the things that he's succeeded at doing. And there weren't very many protesters, and they were quiet. They weren't ugly. I kind of half expected there to be a fisticuff somewhere, and from where we were outside there, I didn't see any. So that was really nice, and there was a heavy police presence there as well as a SWAT team. So maybe that kept a lid on it too. But
well, during the election, you notice that none of these rallies have disruptive protesters. They tend to be local people who disagree with the president, and God bless them. Mm-hmm. They certainly have their rights to stand out there and speak their mind. But during the election, these were organized groups, organized mobs, by the way, who were instructed to act the way that they did. And we know that the organizers were paid. We know where they come from. They come from MoveOn.org. They come from all of the pro-Clinton and pro-Obama organizations. That's what they do. And the problem they have now is that these rallies are now so big and so packed, and there are so many people there who are, speaking their mind about Trump, that they just don't want to get involved, these organized mob groups. They don't want to get involved. It's just too big for them to handle. So they rely on local people to come out, and they're just not coming out in numbers.
Well, I noticed the signs, too, because somebody had pointed that out about the prefabricated. They were all saying the same thing, and they were printed and nice. These signs were all very last-minute. Run down to Rite Aid, get the poster board and black magic marker, and that's truly all there was, which is fine. But I did notice that it wasn't, like you said, an organized-looking thing at all. But what I wanted to say to you was kudos for the Andrew Miller interview. I love stuff like that, like flushing them out of the weeds, you know, some really important things, and you got it, and so yay to you.
Thank you.
Do you think if they win that, that people will be able to, who have been financially harmed and their reputation smeared, will they be able to turn the tables around and get compensation for that? I'm not someone that enjoys seeing people sued, but I think there's a really, you know, righteous indignation. So many people were hurt.
Right. It's hard to say. Like, I don't know the ins and outs of this. I talked to my attorney, Dennis Vacu, a bit about this. In the Senate and the House, they are immune. They have immunity from civil suits for things that they do in the halls of Congress. It's the things that they do on television, which are, which they're, you know, liable for. And the problem is that costs so much money to go after a congressman who lies about you on television, and they are lying through their teeth over and over again from the Democrat side. And what we would have to do is organize as a group and go after a particular congressman and teach them a lesson that they really need to be learned, to be taught. If the constitutional challenge prevails, what happens to people that the Department of Justice went after under the special counsel? I don't know. That's a good question. You know, I have not had a difficulty with the special counsel as a witness, and they treated me with respect. I don't like being dragged into Washington and having to pay attorneys such, you know, big figures. Maybe I could get my legal fees reimbursed, but I'm not too hopeful about that. I think it's important to teach the government a lesson, and that lesson would be invaluable.
Yes. And a quick update on Manafort. What's his – I don't hear anything. Like, is he – what's his standing right now?
He's in prison. He's still having meetings with the Mueller people. Had one this week. I know Paul very well. He's been a friend of mine for nigh on 30 years. And while I support him 100% and I love his family, he committed what appears to be real crimes. And he was found guilty by a jury of his peers and pled guilty to others. So Paul has legal jeopardy. We don't know how long he's going to be sentenced to prison, but he is cooperating with the Mueller team. It appears he is only cooperating in one direction, and that is the foreign agent registration prosecution of others who he worked with on this Ukraine stuff before he met with the president, before he joined the president's campaign. He also still, by the way, has a joint defense agreement with the White House. I don't know how to explain it better than that. He is still, his attorneys are still cooperating with the president's attorneys. So that is another indication that whatever he is helping the Mueller team with, it does not include Russian collusion, of which there's none, of course, and Paul has no information about such things. His wife is okay. Friend of mine had dinner with her the other night. He says she's holding it together. And Paul is a rock. He's a very strong person, and he's doing what he needs to do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Darcy. I really appreciate it. We got some more calls here at 803-0930 and *930 on your cell phone. Also, some text on the board. That is the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board is 30930. One texter says, it's amazing how much a strong leader like Trump has done in the last 2 years. Just the last 2 years. How interesting. We have some pretty good both sides coming through on our board and on our calls. We'll be right back after these messages here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
I'm about to tell the size of heaven.
Welcome back to Beach & Company. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach. 10:38. Got me for about a little less than another hour and a half. I want to read from the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. We've been talking about the Collins and McMurray race. McMurray actually had a pretty extended and well-done interview this morning. That guy is on message, absolutely hitting every ball that's thrown at him, and he's a pretty strong candidate. We were, 803-0930, star 930 on your cell phone. We got one line open for you. Let's read a quick couple of texts, and I'm going to go to the phones. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach. We need Collins to hold the seat for the next 2 years. Then we will vote a new Republican in. This texter gets it. First of all, he's assuming, however, that Collins is guilty. And I know there's a lot of sentiment to say that it's a pretty strong case. I think the congressman has to fight that tide. That's a difficult thing to do. Probably his biggest challenge. But if the seat goes blue, it is a sign of and a likelihood that the entire House of Representatives will go blue. And then the Trump agenda is stopped cold. I don't care if Nate McMurray tells you that he is going to work with the president. That's not true. He's not going to be allowed to. It's naive to say that. He says he doesn't support Nancy Pelosi. He'll be voting for Nancy Pelosi as well. Number two from the text board. I don't think showing your taxes is that big of a deal because the IRS would have done something if there was a problem with an individual's taxes. Another one, Trump taxes, is that all they got? Best economy in decades, but still on Trump taxes and Russia. First of all, I believe that release of your federal taxes is probably going to become a standard after Trump. The president is on a position. And at this point, he's not releasing his taxes because you ask for them. If you know Donald Trump, and I think most of us have figured him out, when he gets on a position, he is not budging. But after this, I'd say the 2020 race, it'll probably be a big issue. Most presidential candidates after that will be releasing their taxes on the regular. The idea that that the IRS would have caught any problems is naive. I'm sorry to the texter. We were talking about Luke Wachensky's taxes where he said under oath that he did not pay his taxes because he didn't have to. But the idea that the New York State Tax Department knows this is dubious. In fact, Republican County Chairman here in Erie County, Nick Langworthy, had to point it out to the New York State Tax Department a couple of weeks ago. And there is a state assemblyman named Michael Blake, a Bronx Democrat who owes $13,820 in personal income tax. That has ballooned to over $40,000 in taxes, fees, and penalties. He's got a lien on his he's got a tax lien, a state tax lien because of it, and he's being asked to leave the assembly by his own Democratic caucus. And the state tax department did not know that he owed taxes until he got on the news and was talking about how he is a resident, registered resident of New York, and therefore qualified to run for assembly. Once he was allowed to run, like Wachensky, who was living in Russia for 14 years, I don't know, 12 years, something like that, over a decade, he moved back in 2016 and he swore under oath that he was a resident. So it's very much like the Blake case where the New York State Tax Department discovered that he owed about $14,000 in taxes, and that has now ballooned and the Democrats are asking him to leave. So and Luke Wachensky, to his defense, says that is not his case, that the Blake case is different from his case. But I think the voters want to know how it differs, and the way to do it is to show your taxes. I am not against the president showing his taxes. I think that if he had showed his taxes in 2015 like they wanted him to, he probably was sensitive to the idea that people didn't think he made as much money as he made. He calls himself a billionaire 10 times over. There are many people, including friends of his, who say that is not true. I don't think he wants to prove with his taxes his full financial worth. I'm not sure that his taxes would even show it. But the president really is under the gun, and he will be under the gun if he runs in 2020. I'm going to go right to the phones. Let me see here. Who's been holding on the longest? Dan in West Seneca, how you doing?
Hey, good. And again, you did a great job for Sandy Beach all week long. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
I don't live in the 27th district, but...
If you're West Seneca, you darn near do, almost. You could probably throw a stone and hit the 27th district.
For Elma, yeah.
Yeah.
This is what I'll say. I think they kind of have a unique opportunity in the 27th district, and I'll explain it. They have their Congressman Collins, and he is innocent until proven guilty, but he certainly is under a pretty heavy cloud. They know his record, and they know how he's conducting himself now. And they're going to have to judge that, and the proof in the pudding will be their vote. Now let's flip to the Democrat, Nate McMurray. I'm a little disheartened. I'm a Democrat that the National Democratic Committee won't support him because they've already deemed that it's an unwinnable race. I think they're denying their constituents the opportunity to actually participate. And then I thought to myself, if I lived there, this Nate McMurray, he doesn't have any money. He has his stance. You would judge that. And it's a unique opportunity to elect somebody who is not part of the establishment, who doesn't have any money, and just might not be beholden to anybody because they didn't give him any money. They gave him damn little help. You have to decide whether or not his platform would apply to you. And will he serve you, the constituent, or is power? You've alluded to a couple of times that you said that you needed to keep that a Republican district to help the president. I don't know. Why don't we just help Americans? And I don't think that anybody just straight up should follow any candidate, Republican or Democrat, blindly. Just maybe a guy who's not full of money and who's not really, really well connected might be a good representative. And if he's not, 2 years down the road, you get another one. But if you vote for the guy who's under a cloud and he is guilty, you're going to cost taxpayers money for a special election. And it will forever be known that you were more interested in your party than the overall well-being and law-abiding citizen that you should be. I'm a little perplexed by this one. It is unique. And unfortunately, I think that group of people, that part of Western New York is going to be in the national spotlight. I hope it works out well.
Well, we're definitely going to be in the national spotlight. There's another race very similar, a Republican, Duncan Hunter, out by San Diego, California, that is running after an indictment, also innocent until proven guilty. And he's getting very similar coverage, but I think he's running a different kind of race. And I think you've nailed it. Either you vote for the man or you vote for the party. And I'm taking the latter. I think the challenge that Collins has is that there are many Republicans that are taking the former, and they won't vote for Chris because he's under a cloud, and which really... It really kind of perplexes me that Nate McMurray isn't, well, for example, advertising on WBEN, because there are, I'd say our callers are split 50-50, you know, and he needs to be reaching out. An interview like he had this morning was a very strong presentation on his behalf, but maybe he really doesn't have any money at all. I think he's got some money, but there's radio out there if he can't afford TV. And Republicans who are on the bubble thinking maybe not, maybe I won't vote for Collins, I think are waiting to be spoken to. I hope he's not listening. I don't want him to win, so I don't want him to take my advice. Hey, Dan, thank you very much. Have a great day. We're going to be right back after these messages here on News Radio 930 WBEN. What's going on today over there on the deal of the day?
What's happening? Michael, let me tell you. You know, it's that time of the year. I hate to say it because I know right now it's still warm, but we're going to want to clean those air ducts out. The furnaces are going to start coming on, and have I got a deal for you. It's the deal of the day from My Buffalo Perks. $50 off air duct cleaning and dryer vent cleaning from Pure Air Care. Enjoy clean, pure air in your home with $99 air duct and dryer vent cleaning from Pure Air Care. Go to mybuffaloperks.com.
Awesome. Awesome, Joe. Thank you so much. Okay, Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach here on News Radio 930 WBN. It is 10:53. I'm going to go right to the phones here. Let me see who's been hanging on the longest. Kelly in Grand Island, how are you?
Hi. For those of you who do not think that Nate does not have a track record, he does. He does have a track record on Grand Island. Ask any Republicans on Grand Island how well he's played with them in the sandbox. I'm sure Michael Madigan could enlighten you. My experience is that he pretends to listen to others' opinions, but then walks away and ignores you. I've heard many people on Grand Island call him arrogant, condescending, narcissistic, and a bully. And in my opinion, this comes down, my phone call is a caveat, and I am so, it pains me to even talk about the subject, but my caveat to the 27th District is do not make the same mistake that a handful of Grand Islanders made and are kicking themselves for ever since. It appears that there were two major issues that Mary, the former Grand Island supervisor, a Republican, rubbed some people the wrong way, which sadly caused enough people to either not vote or vote for someone they knew nothing about. And in my opinion, ever since that supervisor election, Grand Island has been in turmoil ever since under a bullying and narcissistic despot. So here's my caveat. This is about sacrifice and why you should, 27th District, why you should and you need to vote for Collins. This is not about a town. It's not about a district or even a president. It comes down to preserving and protecting the Constitution, which is the greatest thing in the world. And if you ever traveled, you know what an incredible Constitution and how rare it is that we have, and we have to protect and preserve it. And Collins will. So we all need to make sacrifices to keep our country true to its ideals and foundation. And in my opinion, it appears that there are four major sacrifices. The first one is me and the abused Grand Islanders. We will keep him as a supervisor. This would be an easy out to finally get rid of him. The Republicans, I don't care if the 27th district on the vote has a dead goat. You get out and vote for it. You vote Republican, and you do not stay home and abstain for voting because you feel like someone, you know, angered you the wrong way. You need to make that sacrifice. And then the other thing is Collins needed to make a sacrifice, and he is stepping up to the plate. He's coming out campaigning, and he's being accessible in his district. And then lastly, there's the radio station. It appears to me that some people and personalities on the radio station are endorsing the Democratic candidate by giving him free publicity and advice in general, and more specifically by continuously mentioning his name. Please, please stop mentioning his name. He is the Democratic candidate or the Grand Island supervisor, and that's it. And that's the sacrifice that I ask you to do. And those are four sacrifices, and they're not hard sacrifices. Please, for the love of our country and the foundation and the Constitution that it upholds, please, 27th District, go out and vote Republican. Vote for Collins.
Kelly, let me ask you something.
The same mistake that Grand Island did.
Kelly, let me ask you something. My understanding is that a lot of people who lean Republican or were registered Republicans voted for Nate McMurray in Grand Island. Did you vote for Nate for supervisor?
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. So you were against him from the beginning.
I knew it was better to vote for a dead goat on the Republican ticket than to vote for a Democrat.
Now, I understand you have a lot to say there. I appreciate you taking the time to call. But I have to tell you that not mentioning Collins' name or Nate McMurray's name on the air, especially in our news hours, our news presentations at the top and the bottom of the hours, that would be counter-journalistic ethics. I could see where a commentator might not do it because it's their opinion.
Right, exactly. But Collins' name seems to be mentioned all the time, but not the other one. He is the Democratic candidate.
Well,
he doesn't deserve more than that.
Okay, Kelly, thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate it. I got to tell you, the idea that you don't mention the opposition for Chris Collins, I just don't see how that serves the community. And when we interviewed Collins, we were bound and determined to interview McMurray. I think by, FCC regulations, we have to offer equal time. So if Chris Collins wants to come on, and he agreed to come on with me, then we are destined to air an interview of similar length with Nate McMurray. Not covering an opponent, I don't think serves the community. And there are a lot of Republicans that want to hear from Nate McMurray. I think it's nuts, but, you know, that's the way it is. A couple of texts on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. First of all, though, 803-0930 is our caller line, *930 on your cell phone. I got a couple of callers here. I've got two lines open. No, actually, I think one line open. Texter. A great call from Kelly. Ditto from another Grand Islander. I voted for Nate. We hate him now. Dead Goat 2018. Catchy. Wonder if the smell would even be noticed down there.
Would that be the Satan ticket?
Does Nate McMurray still work as Vice President of Business Development at Delaware North? I never hear this mentioned. I've seen that business, that title, Vice President of Business Development, being advertised as a job available. I don't know that Nate left. He certainly took a leave because he's on the road all the time. But I think they're looking for a new Vice President of Business Development of Delaware North, if I recognize the job boards correctly. And if that was his title, he's left. We'll be right back after these messages.
Oh, but first, the 11 a.m. cash code. And it is milk, as in for strong bones. Drink your milk. M-I-L-K. Text it to 72881 for your chance at $1,000.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.